Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission today is swift and precise. We're giving you a high-impact shortcut into the world of web application development for 2025.
Right.
This isn't about learning to code. It's about understanding the strategic landscape, the risks, the money, and the tech that's driving business today.
That's exactly it. We've basically consolidated a whole stack of sources covering everything from modern web app strategies, some pretty crucial security risks,
I bet.
all the way to AI's role in the development lifecycle, the SDLC, and the hard financial realities, global outsourcing costs, all of it.
So we're essentially charting the territory where tech meets business strategy. If you need a shortcut to knowing where to invest your resources, from cloud adoption to finding talent, you'll have what you need by the end of this.
Let's give it.
Okay, let's start with a really necessary distinction because you hear these terms thrown around all the time. What actually separates a simple website from a complex web application in today's economy?
This is vital, especially when you're setting a budget. A simple website is, it's primarily informational.
Just for brand awareness, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Brand awareness, sharing static content. It's low complexity, built on basic HTML and CSS, and the user interaction is minimal. You read, you scroll, maybe fill out a contact form.
So it's mostly one-way communication, all about presentation.
Precisely. A web application, on the other hand, that's a dynamic tool. It's built to solve a specific business problem.
To enable transactions, automate things.
Right. We're talking about the platforms you use every single day. Online banking, project management tools like Trello, customized internal systems, they require high user interaction.
Data input, two-way communication.
Yeah, and complex logic running behind the scenes. And that complexity means the technology just scales up immediately. It's not about presenting data anymore.
It's about manipulating it.
Absolutely. You need robust, advanced frameworks, things like React, Node.js, or .NET to handle all that volume and the security needs. So the key insight for any business is this: a custom web app aligns every single feature with a business goal. It's an investment in transformation, not just a brochure.
Okay, let's unpack that. If these are strategic tools, what are the measurable benefits driving companies, especially in, say, regulated sectors like finance or healthcare, to invest so heavily? I mean, where's the ROI?
The investment is really driven by three things: accessibility, efficiency, and just massive scalability. Take a look at progressive web apps, or PWAs.
Right.
They merge web accessibility. You just need a URL with the advanced features you'd expect from a native mobile app.
Like offline mode and push notifications.
Exactly. And that blend sounds convenient, but the payoff is quantifiable. Our sources show PWAs achieve up to a 68% higher user engagement compared to a traditional mobile website.
68%. That is a huge lift.
It's a massive return on investment just from improving the user experience.
Okay, so that's a powerful metric on the user side, but what about internal operations? I mean, how much do you actually save by moving from old legacy systems to these cloud-enabled web apps?
Well, on the efficiency side, companies using cloud-enabled apps can speed up their time to market by up to 20%.
20%.
Yeah. And because the logic is all centralized on a server, maintenance is so much simpler. You minimize downtime, and you ensure everyone has the same version instantly. That saves a tremendous amount of time that used to be spent on patching and local updates.
Do we have a good real-world example of that scaling power?
We do. Think of a big logistics provider. They use a cloud-native order management web app. So when peak season hits, like Black Friday,
Right.
they can instantly scale their resources to handle a 3x increase in orders. No disruption, no failure. That kind of agility is only possible with a modern, scalable web app architecture.
That's a perfect illustration. And this breadth of function, just to recap, it includes things like dynamic apps for personalized content, single-page applications, or SBAs like Trello.
Which give you that fast, fluid user experience.
And then the really complex business web applications for internal systems.
Exactly. All of them needing that robust modern core.
All right, let's shift to the development floor. What are the key trends shaping how these apps are actually being built in 2025? I'm hearing AI is no longer just a buzzword. It seems like a fundamental shift in the whole process.
It's a complete transformation. I mean, the single biggest shift is AI-powered development. Gartner is projecting that by 2026, an incredible 80% of all new software will be built with help from AI coding tools.
80%.
80. It means developers can hand off all the repetitive boilerplate tasks to an AI and really focus their brain power on the complex business logic, the stuff that actually matters.
That's a huge forecast. It definitely accelerates things, but it also raises some big strategic questions. If you're using AI for your core code, What about intellectual property risks or the licensing models for these tools?
That is a critical question, and frankly, one that businesses are just starting to get their heads around. It's going to be a major legal battleground for years to come. But from a purely functional view, that speed is also coming with a massive expansion of what's even possible, thanks to WebAssembly.
WASM.
WASM, yeah.
Tell me more about that. I know it expands what a browser can do, but what does that mean in practical terms?
WASM lets you run traditionally resource-heavy tasks. I'm talking 3D modeling, high-end video editing, complex CAD software, directly inside a standard browser.
With desktop-level performance.
With near-native desktop performance. It's basically erasing the line between desktop software and web software.
Mm.
It lets web apps do things that, until now, were only for installed programs.
That really does expand the ceiling. Now, can we quickly clarify the architectural shifts, specifically those JavaScript stacks we always hear about, Mean, Mern, and Immevian?
Right.
For someone who isn't a developer, what's the common thread there?
They're all highly efficient, full-stack frameworks built on JavaScript. The core is the same, which you see in the letters E, and E is for Express.js, the web app framework, and N is for Node.js, the runtime environment.
And the M.
M is for MongoDB, which is the scalable NoSQL database. The only real difference is that final letter, the front-end framework. Mean uses Angular, Mern uses React, and MEVN uses Vue.js.
So Mern with React is known for being flexible, and MEVN with Vue.js is more lightweight and performance-focused.
That's the general idea, yes. The choice of front-end really dictates how fast your developers can move and what the final app's performance feels like.
Okay, this is where the high-speed development meets, well, reality. If AI is accelerating everything and WASM is expanding what's possible, that speed must create a massive new risk surface. Are security risks growing at the same pace?
They certainly are. The stats really bear that out. Web application attacks now account for over 25% of all confirmed breaches globally. That's according to major cybersecurity reports.
A quarter of them.
Yeah. Security is not a feature you can just bolt on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in the DNA of the application for the very first line of code.
So what are the top threats every business needs to make sure their teams are mitigating right now?
Number one is still injection attacks. This is where untrusted data, maybe hidden in a form field, gets executed as a command.
Like SQL injection.
Exactly. SQL injection is the classic example, running malicious commands against your database. But also cross-site scripting, or XSS. The best practice is mandatory input validation and using parameterized queries, which treat all user input as data, never as executable code.
And with everything being so interconnected, I have to assume APIs are a huge target.
Oh, absolutely. API vulnerabilities are major entry points. If your API endpoints aren't secure, they're like an open door to your system. Mitigation requires strong authentication tokens and rate limiting to stop brute force attacks.
And what's the third?
Finally, you have broken authentication. This is the human element. You have to enforce strong password policies and, critically, multi-factor authentication, or MFA.
Where you need two or more ways to prove who you are.
Right. Beyond those traditional cyber risks, though, using AI in development introduces this whole new class of ethical and structural risks.
That's a foundational issue.
It is. When AI coding tools are used everywhere, you risk importing the biases from their training data directly into your functional code. This opens up huge questions about fairness, accountability, transparency. I mean, if a feature written by an AI gives different outcomes to different user groups, who's responsible?
You've shifted the problem from a technical bug to systemic bias.
That's exactly. It is crucial for businesses to maintain a really rigorous balance between the efficiency of automation and just good old-fashioned human oversight. You have to ensure the software upholds basic societal values. Governance within the development lifecycle is more important than it has ever been.
So let's talk about the bottom line. What does this all mean for the budget? How can a business owner even begin to estimate the cost of building a complex app with all these variables?
The cost fluctuates wildly. I mean, from around $15,000 for something very simple up to $240,000 or more for a feature-rich single platform.
And the main driver is just complexity measured in hours.
Yeah, that's the core of it. A simple app might take 500 to 700 hours. A complex, feature-rich app, you're looking at more than 1,200 hours.
And specific features can add a surprising amount of cost.
They really do. Adding something like map integration or payment processing, that's another 60 to 111 hours each.
Yeah.
But if you want something really complex, like real-time integrated calling.
Oh, that sounds expensive.
It is. That can jump to between 257 and 365 hours of dedicated work. And don't forget the team you need. A business analyst, a UI UX designer, engineers, QA testers, a project manager, and then there's maintenance, which people always forget. It runs about 15 to 20% of the original cost every single year.
Okay, let's talk about geographic arbitrage. The idea that where you hire from drastically changes the hourly rate, this is where the big strategic financial calls get made.
It's probably the most impactful external factor on cost. For instance, developers in the U.S. average somewhere between $105 and $205 per hour.
And compare that to?
Compare that to developers in a place like Ukraine, who average between $25 and $77 an hour.
And why does Ukraine stand out so much beyond just the rate? Are there other advantages that help with the logistics of a global team?
Yes. They're often favored not just for that quality-to-cost ratio, but for time zone and cultural compatibility. Ukraine is about 7 hours ahead of the U.S. East Coast.
Okay.
This creates a seamless work handover model. The American teams finish their day, pass tasks to the Ukrainian teams who are just starting their morning. It creates this constant productivity that you just don't get with bigger time differences like with India, which can be 10 and a half to 13 and a half hours ahead.
Interesting. And finally, let's look at the cost of using AI itself. If we're relying on these tools, how are the pricing models changing to give businesses some predictability?
This is a major recent shift, and it's providing a lot of clarity. Traditionally, you'd get charged per AI model you used, or per operation, which is a forecasting nightmare.
I can imagine.
Now we're seeing a big move toward unified subscription models. So you get 300 or 400 different models under one fixed plan. This gives you budget certainty. You know your fixed monthly cost no matter how much you use it.
And there are ways to save just by changing the billing metric itself.
Absolutely. One source we saw noted they achieved cost reductions of around 60% just by switching from a per-operation pricing model to a time-based execution model.
So you're paying for compute time, not for each individual action.
Exactly. When you're running huge automated workflows, paying by the second of compute time completely changes the financial calculus.
That was a tremendous amount of high-impact knowledge. Let's try to synthesize the key takeaways for you. First, web apps are strategic investment tools, not just digital storefronts. They drive measurable ROI, like that 68% engagement boost from PWAs.
Right. And AI is accelerating development at an incredible rate. It's projected to build 80% of new software by 2026.
But that speed comes with huge security responsibilities. Web app attacks account for a quarter of confirmed breaches. That's not a small number.
It's not. And if you are planning a budget, you have to think globally about talent, that geographic arbitrage. But you also need to think strategically about the future cost of AI itself.
How so?
Well, given that AI is slated to build 80% of new software in just a couple of years, the real long-term financial cost for your organization won't be in the initial development hours. It won't even be in the offshore rates.
So where will that long-term cost actually settle?
It will be in the inevitable recurring investment you'll need to make to audit and mitigate the technical and the ethical bias introduced by those very same AI tools.
So the efficiency tool creates a new governance problem.
Precisely. Ensuring your automatically generated code truly upholds fairness, accountability, and security. That's going to require dedicated teams and specialized tools. That auditing mandate is the hidden operational risk that requires planning for right now.
A vital and provocative thought for you to chew on. Use this knowledge to make sure your next investment is strategic, secure, and future-proof. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.